So if you can imagine, if you're in Scotty's shoes, right? You're doing all of this, putting in all this work, right, for the team. Mike leaves, you still keep him in playoff contention. And then when the time comes in the playoffs for a big shot, you've been waiting for this, you've been waiting for this promotion to the shot taker. And your boss tells you, hey man, somebody else is gonna take that shot. How many of us would appreciate that? I'm going straight to the top. Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? Mike Philbin here with another episode of the Sports in the Real podcast. Appreciate you joining me once again. YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts from. Once again, thanks for joining and following along. Don't forget to subscribe, like, share, as always. So today's episode is something I've been thinking about for a while, actually, and I wanted to do it from a slightly different angle than what I'm going to do it today, but I feel like I had to push up the release date, man. But it's been a while coming, but I had to push up the release date. So if you've been following social media, right, in sports last couple of days, right, outside of the NBA playoffs, Denver got rid of the Lakers, and but the Celtics and the Heat are in a dogfight. But if you've been following outside of that, right, last couple of days, you've noticed a lot of, action around, Scottie Pippen, talking about, Michael Jordan wasn't great and this and that, right? And, of course, some people are bashing Pippen, and people who don't like Jordan and who want to prop up Bron are using that to bash Jordan, and it's a big mess out there. So the angle I wanted to originally create this podcast for was to talk about how great Scottie Pippen was in his role as a number two, and that you don't always have to be number one to be great. You don't always have to be the leader to be great. But recently, the more Scottie talks about Mike, it seems like there's more to it. There's some grudge there. He's letting some stuff out. Like he has some pent up negative energy towards it. I don't know if this is recent or if it's, dating back to their playing days or whatever it is, right? So I've had to make some changes to, to what I was planning on talking about, but still the gist of it remains the same, right? But let me start here. So I've mentioned on previous episodes, right, that Jordan was the reason why I got into basketball. He was God to me. Right, I wanted to be like the dude, hang in the air, fly, 6'6", 220, leg sleeve. He was God to me. I wanted to be Jordan. But when Michael Jordan retired in 93, right, after the first three-peat, as a Bulls fan, I had nowhere to go. I needed a favorite player. So naturally, my favorite player became Scottie. And actually, Scottie stayed my favorite player throughout, right? Like, even when Jordan came back, Scottie stayed my favorite player. And I wanted to be like him. And the way he dunked the basketball. And his bank shot. Like, his bank shot was automatic. And my bank shot became automatic, to be honest with you. So I followed Scottie Pippen's career, from the time Jordan retired, right? Obviously, I followed his career while Jordan was there. But from the time Jordan retired the first time to the very end, I followed everything about Scottie Pippen's career. He stayed my favorite player even when Jordan came back into the league. So I knew everything there was to know about him. I knew the commercials. I knew the Silent Assassin commercials that Nike made. His shoes was nice. I knew all of that. But the truth is, most people don't know about Scottie's accomplishments because they've been overshadowed by Mike's accomplishments and his greatness. And whereas you had people who grew up on the Bulls, who watched the Bulls and Jordan and the Bulls play, right? They knew Scottie Pippen, they knew his greatness, but nowadays, people just look at the box score, right, and look at highlights and see Jordan's highlights, and they're comparing Jordan to Bron, but they're overlooking Scotty. So they don't know that Scotty was a seven-time All-Star. They don't know that he was the MVP of the 1994 All-Star game when Jordan retired. They don't know that he was probably the best perimeter defender ever, right? Like, guys like Kawhi are molded after Scotty, but they weren't as nice as Scotty like that. Like, he was quick, fast, strong, long-ass arms, picking people's pockets, taking charges. Like, he was all of that. And I've mentioned this before in previous episodes, like, what allowed Jordan to be Jordan and what allowed the Bulls to be so dominant is the fact that the only cat who could guard Jordan in the league at the time was probably Pippen. He was on his team. So, yeah, the Bulls were going to dominate. You weren't going to score on them. Jordan was going to score on you, right? Pitt was going to get his, and you weren't going to score on them. That's how they dominated. So to me, those two cats were the best duo ever at anything. All right? The best duo ever based on results, the longevity. Like, I don't think there's anybody like them, right? And the greatness, both of them at their peak for an extended period of time. So you could throw out Shaq and Kobe with the Lakers, and I'll give you Shaq and Kobe, except that they didn't play long enough together and win enough, partially because they butted heads, partially because they were both trying to be number one, and I'll get to that in a second. And that's what made Scotty and Jordan so great, because Scotty accepted his role. It's not many people who can accept their roles. Shaq and Kobe, they were fighting to be number one. And that eventually led to the Lakers choosing Kobe over Shaq. But had they stayed together, they could have won however many they wanted, if Shaq decided to put in the work for his body and all that. You got Dwayne Wade and Bron, D-Wade and Bron. Well, they were great, but they weren't great for a long enough time. They only won two chips together. Bron and Kyrie were great. They only won one championship together. And then Kyrie was like, well, I want my own team. And we know how that happened, how that worked out. KD and Steph, they could have won more together. They could have strung several together. But nah, KD had enough. He won two. He was like, yo, I'm not getting enough credit. And people miss this every time about the Scottie Pippen thing. And maybe that's why it's all coming out now. And that he's bashing Mike now. But for all those years, he played this Batman role to perfection. He knew his position. Every other great duo, they end up breaking up prematurely because somebody else wants the recognition of the number one. KD wanted the love that Steph was getting. Kyrie was like, yo, I'm nice too. I want my own team. So he bounced on Bron when they could have won more. So Scotty played that role to perfection and allowed it to be like the best duo ever. But now that he's bashing out, and people are saying, well, you know, Jordan's son is, you know, dating his ex-wife. That might have something to do with it, right? I'm not in their personal lives. Maybe, right? Maybe Jordan could have told his son, hey, man, there's plenty of chicks you can get. You ain't got to go after my man's ex-wife. That's a bad look. He could have said that. That's true. But I don't know if that's, you know, how much impact that has on what Scotty's saying now. Because truly, even before this situation with, you know, what, a Marcus Jordan, whichever one it is, right? Dating Scotty's ex-wife, right? Scotty did come out a couple of times and say, hey, Bron's the better player than Mike because he's more all around, this and that. But now it seems like he's digging in a little bit more. Like his latest comments, Scotty's talking about, you know, Mike wasn't that good of a player. He wasn't that liked because, you know, he was selfish and so on and so forth, right? That's like the most recent rant that's floating around social media. And listen, I can understand where Scotty's coming from now, though. I don't want to defend him per se, what he's saying, because he's not entirely wrong, right? Because he's right. Jordan didn't win before he got there. Before Scotty became Scotty, Jordan didn't win. Right. But the way he's saying it, it sounds personal now. So I don't want to defend that. But I do want to speak on behalf of Scotty for those who didn't know this dude. Right. And try to explain at least why I think he's coming out that way. So when you're talking to people now, everyone's talking about, you know, Jordan is this, Jordan is that. And they're like, well, Jordan made Pippen. Pippen never did nothing without Jordan. Well, Jordan never won without Scotty either. So when you're talking about Jordan made Pippen, what does that mean? Like, Pip put in the work to become who he became. If that's the case, Jordan should have made a whole lot of dudes to make it easier on himself for himself to win. So there's no such thing as this person made that person. That person put in the work. Yeah, you may have influenced them by them being around you, which is something I'll talk about in a bit. But there is no I Jordan made Pippen. Like, then he could have made anybody else on that team. Scott Burrell, who the Last Dance, you know, showed him picking on all the time. But he didn't. So Scotty was a special talent, came out of a small town, out of a small school, right? And he had to get used to the NBA game, right? His body had to develop. His game had to develop. But eventually, he became that dude too. Yes, it helps being around greatness again. But I'm sure as Scottie Pippen, you don't like sitting there hearing people talking about Jordan made you. So I think what happened is there is some culpability, right? There is, Jordan got to take some of the blame too, to be honest with you, in this fracture. Right? Mike got to take some of the blame. Here's why. So the Last Dance, right, came a couple years ago during COVID or whatever pandemic, and everybody was locked in the house. The Last Dance came out. I was excited for The Last Dance. I'm thinking they're going to talk about, you know, that last season, you know, how great it was, you know, different angles, different things that happened that we didn't know about. But honestly, it turns out to be like a biography of Michael Jordan. Again, this is me speaking when Michael Jordan was God to me. And I think he's the GOAT basketball player. But that Last Dance was pretty much 90% about Jordan. It wasn't the Last Dance of the Bulls. It was the rise of Michael Jordan to greatness in the NBA. So I went back and watched the episode, right? And here is why I think, again, I think Scotty is kind of mad because he signed up to do all these interviews, be part of The Last Dance and this and that. And then all he ends up hearing is like all of the bad things he did. His migraine game against the Pistons. His contract situation and not wanting to play on a bad contract. The dude was like the 133rd highest paid player and he was at his peak in the league? Yeah, he was mad about his contract. And Jordan speaking out about his contract and saying he shouldn't have waited to get his surgery. And then you talk about, you know, the back spasm he had in the finals. Like, most of what we saw in The Last Dance in regards to Pippen was the negative. Yeah, there was a time when Jordan talked to, you know, said, well, you can't say Michael Jordan without mentioning Scottie Pippen. Like, without Scottie Pippen, you know, I'm not Michael Jordan, you know, this and that, whatever he said, right? But to be honest with you, as we know, actions speak louder than words. And when as a consumer, you're watching The Last Dance, people who don't know Scottie Pippen would come away with more negatives about Scottie than positives, right? Oh, he sat out that last shot where Kukoc took it. There was literally in that Last Dance, that season that Mike was gone and the Bulls won 55 games. I went back and watched it today just to make sure. They covered that team for like 9 minutes. A 55-win team, the biggest story, Michael Jordan's gone. That team still wins 55 games. They covered that whole thing in a span of 9 minutes. And guess what? It doesn't talk about the fact that Scotty was dominant and won All-Star Game MVP that year. One of the best All-Star Game performances ever. He put up 29 and 11 in an All-Star Game when an All-Star Game was competitive at the time. They don't talk about how he came in third in MVP voting. how he was locking down dudes on defense and orchestrating an offense. So a team loses its best player, still wins 55 games. They cover it in 9 minutes and don't talk about those things. So, yeah, Scotty has reason to be mad. But they want to talk in the finals about how Scotty was hurt. You know, his back was hurt and this and that. That's because Scotty did all the dirty work. Anyone who watched the Bulls saw Scotty not only defend the best players, but he did all the dirty work, all the hustle plays. He took all the charges. The reason why his back was spasming, because he was taking charges against Carmelo and dudes like that. Like back when dudes were taking real charges, not now when they're flopping. I'm going to be honest. You know, Michael Jordan wasn't really taking charges like that. He played good defense, but after a while, he wasn't taking charges like that. Scotty was doing all the dirty work. So if you can imagine, if you're in Scotty's shoes, right? You're doing all of this, putting in all this work, right, for the team. Mike leaves. You still keep him in playoff contention. And then when the time comes in the playoffs for a big shot, you have been waiting for you've been waiting for this. You've been waiting for this promotion to the shot taker. And your boss tells you, hey, man, somebody else is going to take that shot. How many of us would appreciate that? Not too many. Most people would say, hell no, I'm out. And actually, that's what happens. Most people quit their jobs. When they don't get the promotion they felt like they deserved, they quit their jobs. So, but we want to blame Scotty for being okay with, you know, for years watching Jordan take shots and then his time comes and then Phil Jackson draws up a shot for Tony Kukoc. And yeah, Tony made it. But still, Scotty to me was right for feeling like, yo, my time has come. I've been the best player on the team thus far. Let me get this shot. I'm not sure there's many people in the U.S. or in this world, at least in this society, this capitalistic society, that would sit around, you know, their manager leaves, retires, whatever it is, and then, you know, their boss hires somebody else to be the manager spot when they're fully qualified. I'm not saying if you're not qualified, right? But you're fully qualified to be the manager, but your boss hires somebody else to be the manager. Slide somebody else in there who just got to the company. You would be mad too. You wouldn't like that. So that's where Scotty found himself. Like, I could see, listen, I'm not agreeing with him not getting in the game and doing that, but I could see that. I can totally see that. So the media, right, like I said, our society, the media, right, they're part to blame in all of this. So Scotty has to take some blame, right? It seems as if to me, you know, he has some feelings about it that he's been holding on to. And then Mike has to take some blame, right, because he clearly, you know, kind of hogged the mic. Per se. He kind of hogged it. And the reason he hogged it was because the media and the way our society, our capitalistic society is set up is that there can only be one lead. There can only be one best. Right? So there was no incentive for Jordan to say, hey, it's 50-50. But anyone who watched the game and who notices the details know that. Meaning, Michael Jordan did the scoring. He was great. He had the pressure of scoring the basketball for the Bulls. But all the other stuff, Scotty did that. He defended the best. Like I said, all the hustle plays, the charges, those things which are super important to winning get overlooked because Jordan was doing all the scoring and he had more charisma, good-looking guy. He did acrobatics. And so all the credit went to him. So Jordan wasn't incentivized to share the spotlight. Because sharing the spotlight in this society means you're not going to get all the money. The more money, if you want more money, you have to kind of hog the ball, hog the mic. You can't share the success with others like that. So Jordan was never going to say, hey, man, while he's playing, hey, I can't do any of this without Scotty. I couldn't do any of this without Scotty doing this, this, that, and the third. He couldn't say that. Jordan had to make it sound like, yo, I am, you know, that dude. I am everything. And even again in The Last Dance, Scotty gets a small blip, right? So I got to take the credit. Even for us in the workplace, right? Like, it's always a competition with our coworkers. We got to be the best. There's only room at the top for one. We got to be the best. We got to get the credit, or else nobody, man, if we're being honest with ourselves, nobody wants to be the Robin. Everybody wants to be the Batman. That's why it was crazy to me when recently Paul George came out and said he realized that to win a championship, he has to be a number two. Who has admitted that? I have never heard anyone say that. Yo, I have to be number two if I'm going to win a championship. Everybody wants to be number one because that's what our society says. That's what the NBA media says, sports media says. I have to be the lead dog. I have to get the credit. So now Scotty, for a lot of people, he's just known as, you know, a sidekick when he was that guy. Like, I'm a firm believer that if Scottie Pippen had left the Bulls, right, after Jordan left, right, and Scottie Pippen had left the Bulls and went, when they were talking about trading him to the Sonics, like, he would have had, like, probably, like, 3-4 seasons of averaging, like, 24, 25 points, taking his team to the playoffs. They probably wouldn't have won a championship, but they would have made deep playoff runs. And he would have been looked at much differently than he is now, which is just a guy, you know, who was Jordan's sidekick. And Jordan probably would have came back and probably would have never won another championship. So I can see why there is some pent-up anger there. But he's right in what he's saying, at least some of it, right? The way he's coming off is coming off as bitter. But he's right in wanting to defend himself because that's human nature. It's human nature to feel like I'm not getting any credit despite all the work I put in, despite everything I did, all that I put in, all the blood, sweat, and tears, the charges I took, the dudes I defended, 94 feet, picked up 94 feet. I sacrificed myself for this team. And then the thing I'm known for now is for a headache game and not going in because Tony Kukoc was, you know, was given the last shot over me. So Scotty wouldn't be wrong for saying, hey, man, Mike needed me. Just like Kyrie wouldn't be wrong to say, hey, people who want to elevate Bron to this status, Bron doesn't have a championship in Cleveland without me. Because that big shot that Kyrie made before that, LeBron had threw up a straight brick. He couldn't get a good look at all. But people don't remember that. But they remember LeBron's stats. But Kyrie made some big shots. So he deserves the credit. So in people's, you know, quest to elevate Bron, they diminish his teammates. So Kyrie made some big time shots. So Kyrie would have the right to say, hey man, I contributed a lot. He would be in his rights to say that. D-Wade would be in his rights to say, hey man, Bron never won nothing without me. He never won nothing before me. And I had one before him. But he never did. But now fans want to diminish how good Dwayne Wade was and Chris Bosh. Like, they want to act, fans want to act like in the quest to elevate LeBron, fans want to diminish his teammates. So now D Wade was a scrub, Chris Bosh was a scrub, when these guys were all NBA players. And that's the lens we have to look at. That's the lens we have to look at with Bron and his teammates, with Jordan and any of these greats where we elevate them and we kind of push their teammates to the back. They have their rights to come out and say, hey man, y'all ain't gonna do me like that. Right? Oftentimes these guys take the high road and say, hey, Bron was great, Jordan was great, and they were. But it's tough to sit back and watch people basically disgrace your name in the spirit of boosting up somebody else when you know what you did. Listen, it's, like I said, it's human nature. At your workplace, you wouldn't allow it. A lot of people quit their jobs because somebody else gets the promotion, right, that they thought they should have gotten. Or they're mad at their manager or whoever the decision-making person is forever because somebody else got it, right? Somebody else got the promotion, got the big raise that they did, that they expected. It happened. So why do we expect differently from Scotty? Like Ray Allen should be able to say, hey man, LeBron's record is way worse than it is without me making that shot. And we should be able to look at it and say, yeah, you're right, bro. But he can't say that. Because everybody just wants to praise LeBron. Oh, LeBron won all this by himself. Nah, man. So the media has some blame to it. Our society and the fact that it makes dudes feel like there is only room for me at the top, right? I'm Michael Jordan. I have to get all the credit. I have to do all of these things so that I bring in all of the money to myself and my family and line my pockets and my bank account. Because if I tell the truth and say that, hey, man, I do all the scoring, but Pippen does all the rest, I may not get all the accolades and all the money. Somebody else might take the shine. So that's my thoughts on that, man. Again, I'm not going to sit there and apologize for Scotty for the way he's saying what he's saying because it sounds personal now. But I just wanted to bring some insight into why he would say some of those things because he feels disrespected. And if we were to put ourselves in his shoes, we would feel the same way. Like, yo, that's mad disrespectful. Because dudes don't remember Scotty's bank shot, like I said, right? People talk about Tim Duncan's bank shot, for example. People talk about Tim's bank shot like Scotty wasn't doing that before Tim. Like, Scotty's bank shot was lethal. But people don't remember that because it was never highlighted. So in this world where we have tons of egos and everything is competition, I can see why a dude would lash out now. And I hate to see it because those cats were my childhood. So I hope they reconcile. And maybe it is super personal because of this whole son dating ex-wife thing. But I hope they can work it out. So that's what I got to say about that. But what I originally planned to talk about as it relates to Scotty was the lessons we can learn from being number two in life, in our careers, right? Because the truth is, everybody wants to be number one. We all want to be number one. Like I said, when we're at work, somebody else gets the promo, we want to quit. Entrepreneurs say, hey, go start your own thing. I don't want no boss. I don't want nobody in front of me. I don't want no leader. I want to lead my own thing. And sometimes it's okay to leave, right? Maybe you are that great or you have a new idea and it will serve you better to be, you know, to be the lead, to be on your own. But what I wanted to talk about was lessons we can learn from Scotty. All right? As being a great number two. Number one, recognizing the greatness in other people. Recognizing that Michael Jordan is better than you. And Scotty said that in The Last Dance. He said, hey, yo, Mike is better than me. He came, you know, Scotty said he came to the Bulls thinking he was like that, and he was. He was dominating the level of college he was playing at. But then when he got there, he was like, yo, this other dude is real nice. He's better. So recognizing the greatness in others and taking your position. Not everyone can do that. Recognizing when you can be number one, but you should be number two. That's a tough one. You can be a number one. Scotty could have been a number one on a whole lot of teams in the league. No doubt about it. He could have been a number one option for a lot of teams, taking a lot of teams to the playoffs. But he chose to be a number two in order to win. Right? So recognize when you can be a number one, but it's best that you stay at number two. That's tough. That's tough to accept right there. Again, nothing wrong with accepting your position. Recognizing who you are, recognizing who's better than you. Next, being around greatness elevates your greatness. And you can learn a lot from other people's greatness. So even in the position as a number two, you can learn a lot by watching those who are greater in the lead position. Again, man, our society is tough the way it's set up because everybody thinks they're great. They're the best. And it's hard for people to accept teaching. Right? Whether it's sports or whatever it is, most people just want to say, hey, I'm good. I don't need no help. I know how to make money. I'm talking to myself. So it's okay to be around other great people to learn from them. Greatness elevates everybody. So the quickest way to go down is to hang around those who aren't as great. Or because you want to look so great and you want to be the top dog, hang around those who aren't as great. When really the more greatness you have around you, even if they're better than you, elevates you too. Being ready to take over. Scottie was ready to take over when Jordan left, man. Like he had studied the master, and he was ready to do it. So when Jordan take over, it was like bang, bang. He balled out. He wasn't Jordan because that wasn't his play style. He wasn't a scorer. He was a facilitator. He was a team guy. But he kept it moving. Who thought the Bulls would have won 55 games after Jordan left, made the playoffs, and got robbed by Yu Hollins in the playoffs against the Knicks? Yes. Refs been cheating for a long time. It ain't nothing new, y'all. The refs been cheating for a long time. The Bulls got robbed by Yu Hollins that series. Phantom foul call. Yeah, I said it. But yeah, Scottie was ready to take over. Be ready to take over when you're around greatness because you never know. You never know when your opportunity is going to pop. And this last one here is tough. It's tough for me. It's tough for a lot of people. Accept winning without the credit. Accept winning without the credit. Yeah, Scotty, you won 2-3-peats. But nobody talks about you as being one of the greats of all time because you weren't Jordan. And actually now, not only do they not talk about you now, they put you down to make Jordan look better than he is because now they're in toxic conversations with LeBron fans about who's the best. So in order for LeBron to seem like the best, his fans have to put down his teammates and make Kyrie sound like a scrub, look like a scrub. And D-Wade is a scrub and Bosh is a scrub. And Ray Allen was a scrub. Kevin Love was a scrub. Basically, to make LeBron great in these toxic debates, everybody's a scrub, and LeBron was carrying bums. So, to counter, Jordan fans have to make Scottie look like a bum. And Dennis Rodman wasn't good. And Horace Grant wasn't good. So, sports debate is essentially one-on-one. Like, teams aren't 5-on-5 anymore. Jordan carried bums to 6 championships, and LeBron carried bums. So, yeah, you're getting erased, Scotty. But for those years, you had to accept winning without taking credit. And that's tough for a lot of us. Because, like I said, a lot of us will take the credit over winning big. That's just the mindset. That's our society. That's capitalism. There's only room at the top for one. All of us can't win. I have to win, you have to lose. So that's really what I want to talk about, y'all. That was gonna be my episode. Lessons from Scottie Pippen. Being number two, being Robin. But doing it and not complaining. What's happened though? All this stuff is spilling over. How do you do it without holding that animosity and a grudge? How do you win in the number two position without holding a grudge and being mad that nobody recognizes you? Yes, Jordan has some culpability in this. There was opportunity for him to praise Scottie more, whether it's when they played or in this last dance. Right? One of the rules of being in leadership position is constantly be giving feedback to your team. Because truly without them, you can't win. You can't be, you know, you can't be a great manager, a great leader without your team performing. If everybody quit their jobs, you wouldn't have a team and you would get fired too. So yeah, there was opportunity there, I think, for Jordan to praise Scottie more, to give him more props, more credit. And sometimes you have to overemphasize that credit you're giving to your team, to those under you. Sometimes you have to overpraise them so people truly know that they are appreciated. So that's the episode for today, y'all. Timing kind of got thrown off. But I think there's a big opportunity there, though, for us to learn, right? As Scottie Pippen, my favorite player in basketball, has taught me and taught us, is that you can win from the number two. You can win as a number two. You don't have to be in the lead. You don't have to be the one with all the commercials. You can achieve greatness even in somebody's shadow. So appreciate y'all listening. Going on and praising Scottie Pippen here. Reliving my childhood. But I'm going to catch you guys next time. Appreciate you once again. Sports in the Real my filming. Catch you next time. Peace. I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.